Hey love, and welcome to the Love Meach podcast. It's a billion podcasts to listen to, and the universe guided you right here to this one. It's 8 billion people in the world, yet you met me, and that is not by happen chance. This is a divine meeting, and may we guide each other well. I am in this world, but I'm not of it. On this podcast, you'll hear topics about both worlds, spiritual and earthly. My goal is to keep learning, evolving, and spreading love. Okay, this one is going to be long, y'all, but I'm almost done. So, the siren bird-like description from classical sources were retained in the Latin versions. But sometime during the interim, the mermaid shape was introduced to the body of work. So, they switched the appearance. A woman fish or mermaid. The siren was illustrated as a woman fish mermaid in the 9th century. Even though this contradicted the accompanying text, which described it as a vervain, an English-made Latin bestiary dated 1220-1250 also depicted a group of sirens as mermaids with fish tails swimming in the sea, even though the text stated they resembled winged fowl down to the feet. Illustrating the siren as a pure mermaid became commonplace in the second family bestiaries, and she was shown holding a musical instrument in the classical traditions, but also sometimes holding apparently an eel fish. An example of the siren mermaid holding such a fish is found in one of the earlier codices in the group dated in the 12th century. So they're going to break down bird, hybrid, and etc. So bird-like. A counterexample is also given where the illustrated sirens group of three are bird-like, conforming to the text. As a hybrid, the siren was sometimes drawn as a hybrid with a human torso, fish-like lower body, and bird-like wing and feet. Wings on the shoulder, hanging at the waist. Combo. Also, a siren may be holding comb and mirror. Also, a siren may be holding a comb and a mirror. Thus, the comb and mirror, which are now emblematic of mermaid across Europe, because the mermaid did pick up a mirror, derived from the bestiaries that describe the siren as vain creatures requiring those. Oh, come on. Later bestiary texts appeared, which were modified to accommodate the artistic conventions. It is an example that the sirens' other part may be like fish or like bird. They also appear to be medieval works about sirens. The pilgrim dreams of a female that is described as stuttering, cross-eyed, crooked at her feet, with stunted hands and pale in color. It is not until the pilgrim gazes upon her that she is turned desirable and is revealed by herself to be a siren. The siren then claims that she turned Ulysses from his course. Whoever becomes used to me rarely leaves me, so fully do I satisfy him. The siren claims that she turned Ulysses from his course is inherently false, because a siren in Odyssey do not manage to turn Ulysses from his path. Ulysses and his men were warned by Circe to prepare for the encounter by stuffing their ears full of wax. He wants to hear the siren's song. Let me pause for a moment. What just came to me was they was on the water a lot, y'all. They was always going on voyages, always on the water. They knew about these other worlds. And to me, when they go to these other worlds, they're encountering all this mythical stuff that we hear about. Because at this point, if you've been all over the world, we have planes and stuff. What are y'all still on the water for? Discovering lands. Talking about they going underwater. I bet you are going underwater and underneath them damn ice walls too. Wow. Wow, this is amazing. All of this for a mermaid. Renaissance. Female court musicians known as courtesans filled the role of unmarried companion in musical performance by unmarried women. Could be seen as immoral. A creature could control a man's reason. Female singers became associated with the mythological figure of a siren, who usually took half human, half animal form. Somewhere on the cusp between nature and culture, Leonardo da Vinci wrote of them in his notebook, stating the siren sings so sweetly that she lulls the mariners to sleep and then climbs upon the ships and kills the sleeping mariners. So again, mariners. I need to talk to some Navy people. They know. And I told y'all in the last one, and the man works on the water and he heard it singing. He actually put it on his TikTok and they took that man TikTok down. Why? If it's bullcrap, why? So now they're like demonizing the women. This is 1801 to 1900s. Some supposed sirens were a number of lavacious women who prostituted themselves to strangers and made them forget their pursuits while drowned in unlawful pleasure. And again, it talks about that in the Bible too. The distinguished Celtic makes a siren to have been excellent singers. I think they were protecting themselves. And if singing to a man to kill him, then that's what she had to do before he look upon them and think they're beautiful and take them to be his wife. Like, what the fuck? Young women in beautiful form. I think they were just shapeshifters. Why these men went home? They always on the water and taking what don't belong to you. And they got some. So it gives me other things to look up, which are interesting. One that stood out was nymph, Slavic fairies. I just love fairies. Water spirit. I think that was it. Further reading. That was so interesting. Okay, so now I'm going to wrap it up with the gods. So remember we looked at Enki and Ea. I wanted to talk about them. Enki. I gotta pull it up. It brought up EA. Hell no. Not that EA. EA God. It brought up electronic. EA the game. Hell nah, that shit was funny. Oh, I guess it go back to Enki. Okay, so it's Enki. I guess it's all the same. So, Enki, Sumerian, is a Sumerian god of water, knowledge, crafts, creation, one of the Anunnaki. He was later known as Ea, Akkadian, and Akkadian Assyria Babylon region. It is identified by some scholars as Ia in the Canaanite religion. The name was rendered Eos in Greek. So again, all these names have meanings in different cultures. God of creation, intelligent, craft, water, seawater, lake water, fertility, semen, magic, mischiefs. So So, of course, if he were to have daughters, they would be daughters of the water. This is awesome, y'all. Goldfish. Parents, A-N and Namu. Consort, Nershag, Damika, children, Marduk, Dumin, Nishar, Nuti, Uti, Niti. Those were the freaking Sumerian. So a long time ago, I read the Sumerian story, y'all. Greek equivalent, Poseidon and Prometheus. He was originally the pantheon god of the city of Eridu, but later the influence of his cult spread throughout Mesopotamia and the Canaanite, Hittite, and Harans. He was associated with the southern band of constellations called Ea, but also with the constellations Aishku, the field. Beginning around the second millennium BCE, he was sometimes referred to in writing by the numeric idiom for 40, occasionally referred to as a sacred number. The planet Mercury, associated with Babylonian, in Sumerian times, identified with Enki. Many bits about Enki have been collected from various sites, stretching from southern Iraq to Levantine coast. He is mentioned in the earlier extant cuneiform encryption throughout religious and was prominent for the third millennium through the Hellenistic period. The exact meaning of Enki's name is uncertain. The common translation is Lord of Earth. The Sumerian En is translated as a title equivalent to Lord and was originally a title given to a high priest. Kai means earth, but wow, the Lord of Earth. Enki. Shut the fuck up. Y'all, the Lord of Earth. So if you go to Genesis, it says the Lord God, the God, God. Go to Genesis in the beginning and it's highlight the different ways they say God, the Lord God, God. It's just too many different ways. Okay. Now it makes sense. The Lord God. Wow. E is translated as Lord. Ki as Earth. The Lord of Earth. There are theories that Kai is the name, has another origin, possibly king of unknown meaning of Kerming Mound. The name Ea is allegedly Hurrian in origin, and others claim that Ea is possibly whatever. Hey, they go mixing shit up. Life, spring, water, the house of water. It also suggests that the original non-divinity of Enderu was not Enki, but Abzu. The emergence of Enki as the divine lover of Nershag and the divine battle between the younger Igidi divinities, Azu and Azu, the underground waters of Aquafire, became the place in which foundations of the temple was built. It's giving. With some Sumerian deity named as Enlil, there are variations like Enlil. En means Lord, E means temple. It is likely that Ea is Sumerian short for Lord of the Water. I think so. And Enki is God of the Water. And Ab and Abzu also means water. I think it is Lord of Earth. And we all know Earth is like, what, 80% water? This is amazing, y'all. This is amazing. The Enki temple had an entrance, a pool of fresh water. So when I pray, when I, my Abba, my spiritual teacher, Dr. Delbert Blair, when he prays, he said he prays to the Universal Father. And I pray that way too, because here we just learned that there's the Lord of Earth, but something created it, and something created the parents that made it, and all up and all up and all up. That's like your grandchildren praying, your kids praying to you, but you have grandparents, you have parents and grandparents like that. This is interesting. Enki was the keeper of the divine power called the Mi, the gift of civilization. He is also shown with the horn crown of divinity. Ink is depicted with two streams of water flowing into each of the shoulders on the Tigris and the Euphrates. Along him are two trees symbolizing the male and female aspects of nature. He is shown wearing a flounced skirt. Okay, so he probably created her. That makes sense. And the master and shaper of the world, god of wisdom and of all magic. Ooh, Enki was characterized as the lord of freshwater sea ground located in earth. Listen to this. Considered the master shaper of the world, god of wisdom and all magic, Enki was characterized as the lord of Abzu, the freshwater sea or groundwater located within the earth. And the later Babylonian epic, the begator of the gods, and I feel like this is the god of gods, is inert and sleepy. He finds his peace disturbed by the younger gods, so he sets out to destroy them. His grandson, Enki, chosen to represent the younger gods, puts a spell on Abzu, casting him into a deep sleep, thereby confining him deep underground. Enki subsequently sets up his home in the depths of the Abzu. Enki thus takes on all of the functions of the Abzu, including his fertilizing powers as lord of the waters and lord of seamen. Wow. And then looks upon the daughters of the other guy and make them wives. I've just put that part in there, but wow. He put him into a deep sleep. In another, even older tradition, Namu, the goddess of the primeval creative matter, and the mother goddess portrayed as having given birth to the great gods, was the mother of Enki. And as the watery creative force was said to pre-exist Ea Enki, Benito states, with Enki, it is an interesting change of gender symbolism. The fertilizing agent is also water. Sumerian or Ab, which also means semen, and one evoke passes in Sumerian. Enki stands at the empty riverbeds and fills them with his water. Water is more powerful than we know, y'all. And our water has been contaminated. So I ain't talking about the everyday water. We need to go get spring water, like untouched water. It's giving a little bit more history about the Sumerian gods. Mingling of waters was known as, in Sumerian, Namu, and was identified as the mother of Enki, Namu. Oh, the Sosiket tale with similarities to the biblical story of the forbidden fruit repeats the story of how fresh water brings life to barren land. Enki, the water lord, then caused to flow the water of the heart, having fertilized his consort Nereshag, also known as Ki or Earth. After 9 days, being her 9 months, the months of womanhood, like good butter, Nitu, the mother of the land, like good butter, gave birth to Nereshag, Lady Greenery. When Nereshag left him, a water lord, he came upon Nishar, Lady Greenery, not knowing her to be his daughter. Shut the fuck, I already knew where this was going. Not knowing her to be his daughter, And because she reminds him of his absent concert, Ikki then seduces and has intercourse with her. Nisharik then gave birth to Nakari, Lady Fruitfulness, or Lady Pasture, and leaves Ikki alone again. A second time, Ikki in his loneliness finds and seduces Nerika again, girl. And from that union, Nerika gave birth to Utu, Weaver, or Spider, and Weaver of the Web of Life. You know what? This is the story of the gods. A third time, Ikki succumbs to the temptation and attempts seduction of Utu. Upset about Inky's reputation, Utu consults Nershag, who upset at the promiscuous, wayward nature of her spouse, advises Utu to avoid the riverbanks, the places likely to be affected by flooding, the home of Ikki. In another version of this myth, Nershag takes Ikki's seedlings from Utu's womb and plants it in the earth, where 8 plants rapidly germinate. With her two-faced servant and steward, Ishimi, Ikki in the swampland lies stretched out. What is this plant? What is this plant? His messenger, Ishir, answers him, "My king, this is the tree plant," he says to him. He cuts it off for him, and he eats it. And so, despite warning, Ikki consumes the other 7 fruit, consuming his own semen. What? He falls pregnant, ill with swelling in his jaw, his teeth, his mouth, his hips, his throat, his limbs, his side, his ribs. The guards are at a loss to know what to do. They sit in the dust as Ikki lacks a birth canal through which to give birth. He seems to be dying with swelling. The fox then asks Enlil, king of the gods, "If I bring Nershag before thee, what shall be my reward?" Nershag, sacred fox, and then fetches the goddess. Nershag relents and takes Inky's ab, water or semen, into her body. Wow. And gives birth to the gods of healing of each part of the body. Abu for the jaw, Nashi for the throat, Napu for the hip, Nashi for the tooth, Narshag for the mouth, Dinzi for the side, and Shing for the limbs. The last one, Niti, Lady Rib, is also a pun of Lady Life. Y'all know how they say Adam came from the rib. Oh, okay. It's mighty similar, ain't it? Also a pun of Lady Life, a title of nurture and stuff. The story thus symbolizes the way in which life is brought forth through the addition of water to the land. Once it grows, water is required to bring plants to fruit. It also consoles balance and responsibility, nothing to excess. Wow, Niti, the title of Nershag, also means the mother of all living, and was a title labor given to her and guys Kiba. This is also the title given in the Bible to Eve. The Hebrew and Hebrew was made from the rib of Adam. I just said that. A strange reflection of the Sumerian myth in which Adam, not Ikki, walks in the garden of paradise. Y'all, instead of telling us the true origins, they just make up all of this shit and we gotta figure out the origins by ourselves. I literally, when I say I feel in my spirit and I just be putting that stuff together on my own, when I saw Lady Rib, I had connected that to the rib already before I read down. Thank you, spirit. Let me go on and wrap this up, y'all. I knew it. The teacher will appear when the student is ready. Y'all must have been ready for this. Wow. I am like shocked. This might have to be part 3. After 6 generation of gods and a Babylonian 7th generation. After 6 generation of gods. Pause. After 6 generations of gods. God. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the sons and daughter of God. You truly are. They just didn't give you your history. But if you dig a little bit, it's there. Wow. I didn't want to tell us it's myth.
Okay. Wow. After six generations of God in Babylonian, in the seventh generation, the younger Agigi gods, the sons and daughters of Enlil and Nilil, go on strike and refuse their duties of keeping creation working.
What?
Abzu, god of fresh water, co-creator of the cosmos, threatens to destroy the world with his waters, and did. Noah. And the gods gather in terror. Enki promises to help and puts Abzu to sleep. They love putting people to sleep. Confining him in irrigation canals. And places him a curb beneath his city of Eridu. But the universe is still threatened as Tiamat, I've heard that before, angry at the imprisonment of Abzu and at the promoting of her son and at the prompting of her son and visor, Kingu decides to take back creation herself.
What?
And the gods gather again in terror, turning to Enki for help. But Enki, who harnessed Abzu, Tiamat's consort for irrigation, refuses to get involved.
What?
The gods then seek help elsewhere. And the patriarchal Enlil, the father, their father, god of Nippuru, promises to solve the problem if they make him king of the gods. In the Babylonian tale, Enlil's role is taken by Marduk, I've heard of that, Enki's son. And in the Assyrian version, in Ashur, after dispatching Tiamat with the arrows of his winds, drawn her throat, constructing the heavens with the arc of her ribs, and Lil places her tail in the sky as the Milky Way, and her crying eyes become the source of the Tigris and the Euphrates. But there is still the problem of who will keep the cosmos working. Enki, who might have to otherwise come to their aid, is lying in a deep sleep and fails to hear their cries. His mother, Namu, created also of Abzu and Tiamat, brings the tears of the gods before Enki and says, "O my son, arise from the bed, from thy slumber. Work what is wise. Fashion servants for the gods. May they produce their bread."
What?
Enki then advises that they create a servant of gods, humankind, out of clay and blood.
Done.
Against Enki's wish, the gods decide to slay Kingu. And Enki finally consents to use Kingu's blood to make the first human. Bruh. With whom Enki always later has a close relationship. The first of the seven sages, seven wise men, Abuga, Ab, water, God, great, Lu, man, water, great man,
also known as Adapa. I think it's Adam. Enki assembles a team of divinities to help him, creating a host of good and princely fashioners. He tells his mother, "O my mother, the creature whose name thou hast uttered, it exists. Bind upon it the will of the gods. Mix the heart of clay that is over the abyss. The good and princely fashions will thicken the clay. Now do thou bring the limbs into existence. Nirma, Nusheg, his wife and consort, will work above thee. Nutu, goddess of birth, will stand by thy fashioning. O mother, decree thou it's the newborn's fate." Adapa, I think it's Adam, y'all. How we go from Adapa to Adam? The first man fashioned, bam! The first man fashioned later goes and acts as the advisor to the king of Endru. When in the Sumerian king list, the me of kingship descends on Eridu. Samuel Noah Kramer believes that behind the myth of Enki's confinement of Azul lies an older one of struggle between Enki and the dragon Kur, the underworld. What? The Atris Ufus has it that Enlil requested from Namu the creation of humans, and Numu told him that with the help of Enki, her son, she can create humans in the image of God. In the Sumerian epic entitled Imikar and the Lord of Aratha, Irma, an introductory spell appears, recounting Enki having had mankind communicate in one language. In other accounts, it is the hymn imploring Enki to do so. In other cases, Enki facilitated the debates between the two kings by allowing the world to speak one language, the presumed superior language of the tablet, Sumerian. Let me guess, the Tower of Babel, where the language was split. This is wild, y'all. Even for me. At that time, there was no snake, there was no scorpion, there was no hyena, there was no lion, there was no dog, no wolf, no fear, no trembling. As human had no rival. It was then that the lands of Sabdar, Hamazi, the distinctly tongued summoner, the great mountain, the ancestors of nobility, Akkad, the land possessing the befitting, the land of Martu, lying in safety, the totality of heaven and earth, the well-guarded people, all proclaim Enlil in a single language. Enlil, the Lord of abundance and true word, the Lord chosen in wisdom who watches over the land, the expert of all gods, the chosen wisdom, the Lord Eridu Enki places an alteration of the language in their mouths. The speech of humanity is one. Once upon a time, there was no snake, no scorpion, no hyena, no lion, no wolf, no dog, no terror, no rival. In those days, in lands of Sabdor, the great land of the decrees of princeship, ruler of the land, having all the appropriate, the land Martu resting in security, the whole universe, the people in unison, the Enlil and one tongue spoke. Enki, the Lord of Abundance, who commands are trustworthy, the Lord of Wendel, who understands the land, the leader of gods, endowed with wisdom, the Lord of Enki, who changed the speech in their mouths, brought contention into it, into the speech of man that until has been one. They brought that down like 3 different times. Okay. The Sumerian version. Flood myth. Here we go again. Y'all, this is wild. I did not know mermaids was going to turn into all of this. But I'm glad it did. Let me see. The Sumerian version of the flood myth, the causes of the flood and the reason of the hero survivor are unknown due to the fact the beginning of the tablets describing the story had been destroyed. I bet they were. Nonetheless, Kramer has stated that it can probably be reasonably inferred that the hero survives due to Enki's aid, because this is what happens in later Babylon versions. And Lil, the king of the gods, sets out to eliminate humanity whose noise is disturbing his rest. Here we go again. He successfully sends drought, famine, and plague to eliminate humanity, but Enki thwarts his half-brother Plague by teaching artists how to conquer the threats. Each time, Articus asked the population to abandon worship of all gods except the one responsible for the calamity, and this seems to shame them into relenting. Humans, however, proliferate a fourth time. Enraged, and Lil coven a council of deities and gets them to promise not to tell humankind that he plans their total annihilation. What the hell? Enki does not tell Arthur directly, but speaks to him in secret via a red reed wall. He instructs Artisan to build a boat. Ooh! He instructs Artisan. Is that not Noah? To build a boat in order to rescue his family and other living creatures from a coming deluge. After the 7-day deluge, the flood hero frees a swallow, a raven, a dove, in effort to find if the flood waters have reduced. Upon landing, a sacrifice is made to the gods, and Lil is angry. His will has been thwarted yet again, and Enki is named as the culprit. Enki explains that Enlil is unfair to punish the guiltless, and the gods institute measures to ensure that humanity does not become too populous in the future. This is one of the oldest of surviving Middle Eastern dialogue myths. There is an agenda that says the world's overpopulated. And, oh, this goes deep. Enki explains, it's unfair to punish the guiltless, and the gods institute measures to ensure that humanity does not become too populous in the future. What the fuck? And the gods. The myth, Enki, an Indian god, tells the story of how the youngest goddess feats with her father. The two deities participate in a drinking competition. Enki, abbreviate, gives Ina all of the meads. The next morning, when Enki awakes with a hangover, he asks his servants for the meads, only to be informed that he is giving them to Inanna. Upset, he sends Gallus to recover them. Inanna sails away in a boat of heaven and arrives safely back to Aquae of Urk. Eventually, Enki admits his defeat and accepts a peace treaty with Uruk. Politically, the myth would seem to indicate events of early period when political authority passed from Enki City to Urdu, Tiana City of Urk. In the myth of Indiana's descent, Inanna, in order to console her grieving sister, this is what I remember, Urgisag, who is mourning the death of her husband, slain by Gilgamesh and Urdu, sets out to visit his sister. Inanna tells his servant, Nishkvarg, Lady Evening, a reference to Isana's soul as the evening star. We've heard that before. Evening star to get help from Anu and Il or Enki if she does not return in 3 days after. Yeah, because she went to the underworld. After Ina has not come back, Nishkvarg approaches Anu only to be told that he knows the goddess's strength and ability to take care of herself. When Lil tells Nishkvarg he's busy running the cosmos, Enki immediately expresses concern and dispatches his Gala, sexless beings created from the dirt, from beneath the god's fingernails, to recover the young goddess. These beings may be the origin of the Greek-Roman Galil, being the third sex who played an important part in early religious ritual. What? In the story, Iniga and Shugala, probably saying these names are wrong, the gardener set by Enki to care for the date palm he had created, finds Enki sleeping under the palm tree. Oh my god, and rapes the goddess in her sleep. Awakening, she discovers that she has been violated and seeks to punish the miscreant. What the fuck? Shanaluka seeks protection from Enki. What? Whom Badr believes to be his father. In classic English, the father advises Shukla to hide in a city where Naga would not be able to find him. Inki as the protector of whoever comes to seek his help, whatever, as the empower of Ina. Here challenges the young impetuous goddess to control her anger so as to be better able to function as a great judge. Eventually, after cooling her anger, she too seeks the help of Inki as spokesperson of the assembly of the gods, the Igi and Anukai. After she presents her case, Inki sees that justice needs to be done and promises to help, delivering knowledge of where the miscreant is hiding. You know what? Oh my god. Okay, here we go again. I'm finna wrap it back up. Right back up to the mermaid, right? Inki, later EA, was apparently depicted sometimes as a man covered with the skin of a fish. And this representation, as likewise the name of the temple EA, House of the Watery Dove, points typically to the original character as a god of the waters. Because I can go on and on and on and on and on. Oh my god, I knew it. I fucking knew it. I knew it was so much more. I'm gonna save this and keep going. I'm gonna save this for myself, but let me finish up EA. So EA, this is from godchecker.com. I love Godchecker. So EA, supreme creator, god of water and half fish, the father of Marduk. He also created Adapa, the fish human out of wet mud, the entity Aquaticus. He's very, very wet, half fish. He knows absolutely everything and is more than happy to share. EA, gender male, type god, Babylonian, in charge of creating, expertise creation. This is wild. Okay, let me come back up. Father of Marduk. Father of Marduk, the Babylonian deity, fertility god, and supreme holy leader. The boss of Babylon, Babylonian. Okay, let me go back and created Adapa, the first human. Adapa, Adam, the first human. The prototype human deities was constructed from wet mud by EA, the creative water god. That gives you some idea how creative he was. Adapa's story reveals a valuable lesson. It's not a good idea to tear the wings off a wind guide. You may think you have a reasonable cause. If while out for a day sailing your brand new hobby on the Euphrates River, Shatu, the offered wind guide blows you all over the place and you come close to sinking, but honestly, it's not worth it. I have to look up Shatu. Adapa's display of river rage stopped Shatu's antics and he was very cross. Despite having the ability to grow new wings, almost instantly, he brought charges and the case went to the minor lawsuits court run by Anu, the god of many parts. So let me look at Shatu. Babylonian wing guard. Apparently, he's a temporal. Adapa was so irritated by Shantu's whizzing around his head like an enormous windfly, he pulled his wig off. Wings off. Okay, let me go back. Anu, the god of many parts. Anu, Akkadian creator god, top sky god, lord of the heaven and supreme manager of all the other gods. Wow, Anu. His parentage depends whether you are Sumer or Babylon. It could be Apasu, Temater, Ashgar, Kijar. He has two sons, Ea and Enlil. This is the story of God. And the two sons. T- two sons, EA and Lil. They are also dice aside who did what EA won the sea and Lil the land. And Anu was left with the sky. Wow. Then they decided the universe would make a good prize. This was a mistake as Marduk, landlord of the sun at the time, took objection. So let me click on Marduk. This is like so interesting to me. Okay, so his two sons, basically the story of the gods. And I cannot get over Adapa went to his dad for advice. EA told him to dress sensibly and boy heavy. Teaching mortals how wise and wonderful the gods were. Explaining to them how to conduct themselves as a decent human being. This is a crazy. Okay. So I am going to keep that for my notes and to keep reading because the Bible is basically the Sumerian stories retold. And mermaids are probably the daughters of one of the gods, like we read. So yeah, this is probably going to be like a 3-part because I know it's really, really long. Really, 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 really long. But I'm going to tell y'all about those different religions and I'm going to look up those gifts. And we are going to start working on our Rinky healing abilities, and I'll be doing another podcast with my bestie. I'll tell you guys when that one is up. I was supposed to do it on the 6th, but I was just so busy, so I'm gonna have to redo that. So yeah, this will be part 3. Namaste, love a stay, and always vibe high, babe. Thanks a million for listening. I hope you have a better than great day. I love you. Talk to you later. Mwah. Bye.